This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
Anti-Semitism is not on the rise. It has already risen. The people who hate us fight to kill us. This is why every Jew and our allies worldwide must stand as soldiers in this battle against anti-Semitism. This clarion call for action is a direct quote from my guest now, Yuval David, actor, host, and filmmaker in film, television, theatre, and web. He's also a social justice activist and has, over the past 5.5 months, talking out in support of Israel. I'm delighted to have him as my guest now to tell me more. Yuval, welcome, and thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yuval, firstly, just tell me a little bit about your life as an actor.
Tell you about my life as an actor. Well, my life as an actor started because I'm a storyteller, and I was always drawn to what it is to tell stories, to share stories, to represent people and characters who are beyond myself. And that's how I started to work as an actor. It's also eventually how I started to work as a director and filmmaker, and eventually getting into journalism as well.
You were born in Israel.
I was born in the United States. So I was raised in the U.S. my whole life, but I was born to Israeli parents. So I immediately received Israeli citizenship because of being born to Israeli parents. And as an Israeli American or American Israeli, I had this duality where I was connected to both countries, to both lands. As a Jew, right? And sometimes these days when we hear somebody say as a Jew, it can lead it to slippery territory. But because of my Jewish identity, I always was connected to Israel. I always understood what it means to be an Israeli living abroad. And the more my life progressed, the more the connection to Israel in a very active way also progressed. So I'm a proud dual citizen.
And have you lived in Israel?
I have never lived in Israel, but I've worked in Israel quite a bit, both in entertainment and media, and also, of course, within the advocacy space, which I'm very involved in.
Shall we get into that advocacy space?
I'm in the advocacy space all the time, so shall you join me in the advocacy space is the question. What you do is also advocacy. You know, working and sharing information the way you do, you are an advocate. The things that you say about not just the Jewish people, but about all of the causes you believe in makes you an advocate. And I think that's what's important for all of your listeners and all of your audience to understand. We all must see ourselves as advocates and activists. We represent not just ourselves, we represent our families, our friends, our communities, our nations, our countries, the organizations we work with. We all represent each other. That's what is so necessary during this time when the world is in crisis, but especially when the Jewish people are being attacked internationally. We are advocates. We are activists. This is a war. We are at war, and every single one of us is a soldier. Maybe not by choice, but we're forced into it, so we need to step up.
It's so true what you say. The world changed. At least it did for me on the 7th of October. And I think it changed for every Jew to a certain greater or lesser extent. What changed for you on that day?
On the 7th of October, what changed for me was, firstly, I have people I know who were killed on the 7th of October. I had two friends who were taken hostage on the 7th of October. That was, of course, life-changing. What changed for me was the 8th of October. The 7th of October was a horrific terror attack in the land of Israel, unlike anything we have seen. It is one of the largest terror attacks that the world has seen per capita in one specific area. It is one of the worst terror attacks against the Jewish people, one of the largest amount of Jews killed since the end of the Holocaust in one day. This was a massive thing that changed all of us. What changed for me was the 8th of October that proved how much anti-Jewish sentiment, how much anti-Semitism there is around the world. The 7th of October wasn't just a terror attack. It was a pogrom. It was an attempt at genocide. It is what they were saying. It is what we heard them say in the videos that they recorded themselves. It's within the pamphlets that were found in the pockets of the terrorists who were killed. And the world stood up against us. How many allies are out there of the Jewish people? How many anti-Semites around the world are there? And the thing is, the anti-Semites are louder than the supporters, than the allies. We're facing, in most countries, anywhere from a 51 to a 57% silent majority who is doing nothing. Jewish people around the world are being attacked, and that's a problem.
So my experience from this, you can talk from the 8th of October, is a sense of Jewish solidarity from around the world. And I always talk about, for me, one of the major highlights right afterwards was when a media asked me for a comment. They were trying to do a balanced story, as it were, and they wanted to know, well, compared to the devastation that Israel is causing in Gaza, what was it like on the Israeli side? And within 5 minutes, I'd managed to get to the first responder from Israel, from Hatzalah, who was available and willing to help. And subsequent to that, I found world Jewry so supportive of each other. Do you think that has shifted as well? Do you think suddenly we are forced into a sense of solidarity, whether we want it or not?
Absolutely. Solidarity is essential. This October 7th, and then the aftermath of October 7th, internationally, woke up the Jewish DNA. So many of us have spoken about epigenetics, the study of past generational trauma and how it might affect the next generations. For Jews who might not have been raised Jewish or not actively Jewish, whatever that means for them, whether religiously, ethnically, nationally, culturally, this woke something up in Jews around the world, where we recognized what it means to be Jewish, what it means to be attacked because we are Jewish, and why we need to be insular, why we need to take care of each other, why we need to support each other. And that's something that really changed. So we speak about unity. We haven't had that much unity for a while. There are many people who wouldn't necessarily support each other. And then there are Jews like me who support all Jews and support all allies. And if you're a proud Jew, then I'm supporting you. And I do so actively in advocacy meetings, representation in entertainment and media. Life pre-October 7th, people would often tell me, wow, Yuval, you're very Jewish. And I was like, well, I feel like a professional Jew, and I proudly do so with all the Jewish advocacy and activism and focusing on telling Jewish stories in entertainment and media. And sometimes people say, gosh, you talk about it so much, Jew. You talk about anti-Semitism, because I've been active in the battle against anti-Semitism internationally for the better part of 10 years. And sadly, October 8th gave me those I told you so ability, which is not something I wanted. It was a horrible feeling for people who said, wow, Yuval, you were right for so many years. I did nothing, but I'm in the fight now. Jews woke up.
Well, I was actually in Israel, I think it was last week, and I was speaking to an Israeli who was saying that also, like, before the 7th of October, Israeli society was ready to kill each other, literally. There was talk of a civil war, there was anger. On the 8th of October, he says, everybody was available just to hug each other so tight. They were picking each other up and hugging each other so tight. It didn't matter who it was. Do we need an external threat on our existence for us to show that appreciation and love and solidarity and support?
Sadly, Jewish history has proven that we do need an external threat to bring us together. It's what keeps happening to us. It seems like it happens every 70 years. There's some horrible thing that happens. And I think that's unfortunate, but in my heart, no, we do not need an external threat, because we cannot be defined by those who hate us. And too often, the Jewish people and the world allows those who hate the Jews to define the Jews. We need to define ourselves, not by, not with anti-Semitism being a primary cause of our definition, we need to celebrate what it means to be Jewish, to be ethnically, religiously, culturally, nationally Jewish, even genetically Jewish. When we look at the genetic markers that are within people who are Jewish, it's a pretty amazing thing to study, to be proud of each other, to support each other. Yes, there are many people around the world who hate us, who want to kill us. They're trying to practice genocide. They're also trying to practice ethnocide, to eliminate our ethnicity, and historiocide, to erase our history. The power is in our hands. It's what we do by supporting ourselves and supporting our community and our people at large that will save our people. But we must do it with love and celebration and empowerment of our identity.
Yuval, before we go to a break, I'd like to talk a little bit about our friends who support us. You talk about a silent majority, but again, in my experience of the last 5 months, I've our Christian friends have been unbelievably outspoken, and it's almost like the liberals as well. Everything kind of left of the liberals, however, and that we'll get to after the break, but I don't know if you want to just comment on that.
Our allies are part of us. When speaking with, I'm on a speaking tour. I actually just got back from Israel not too long ago. Maybe 8 hours ago. And I'm on a speaking tour primarily across the United States, Canada, and Israel. And when speaking to our allies, actually I don't speak to, I speak with. Very different way of thinking about it, even when I get brought in as a keynote speaker. When speaking with our allies, I don't speak about them as the other. They are part of us. We are one community. And one of the things, especially with people who have stepped up in very active ways to support the Jewish people and to express their support, I don't say thank you. I don't thank them for doing what any human being should do. I tell them, you are doing what every honest, genuine, life-loving person should be doing. You are heroic. I don't thank you for it, but I'll tell you how I'm affected by it. I have seen the effects of what you're doing for the betterment, not just of the Jewish people, but of the world. And that is what people need to hear. When you do a good deed, thank you is the quickest, shortest response. It's just like a chef who prepares a beautiful, delicious meal for you. Don't just say, that's good. Tell the chef, wow, I taste that you put this seasoning in there, and oh my gosh, the way it tastes on my tongue, and the smell, and the this, and you talk about the experience. That's what somebody needs to do, and maybe that understanding comes from my being a creative and understanding, you know.
What goes into it?
Want people to respond, and that's something we need to do with our allies. They are of us, they are one of us, they are with us, and they are nothing short of amazing, and I hope they inspire the silent majority to follow in their footsteps.
Yuval, we're going to take a quick advert break, and afterwards we're going to talk a little bit about anti-Semitism.
This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherie Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
And I'm talking to Yuval David, actor, host, and filmmaker in film, television, theater, and web, and a social activist on behalf of the Jewish people and Israel. Yuval, let's talk a little bit about your home country, America, and let's talk about cancel culture and maybe the field that you most familiar with, actors, actresses, possibly Hollywood, and what it's like to both support Israel and, yeah, let's start with that.
Cancel culture has been a problem for a very long time. And sadly, I see a lot of it having come from my own liberal and progressive communities and movements that I've been part of for most of my life. The communities that end up seeking the most amount of tolerance oftentimes become the most intolerant of anybody who does not agree with them. And I think that that's quite unfortunate, because in the advocacy space, I fought to ensure that everybody has a seat at the table. We need to be able to speak to and with each other. We need to respect each other. If you want respect, you must respect. And unless somebody's a totally insane, you know, crazy person on the extremes who is just focusing on death and destruction, right? You don't have to bring that person to the table. But what has happened is in Hollywood, we're seeing people who have been afraid to speak up because they don't want to lose their audience. We also have seen a vastly important group of people who are speaking up in support of Israel, in support of the Jewish people. And I'm honored and proud to be part of this community of proud Jews in Hollywood, composed of actors and directors and writers and filmmakers and above the line and below the line people, makeup artists and costume designers and all different types of people who are recognizing how important it is to represent our Jewish identity, and if they're allies, their allyship with the Jewish people and our connection to Israel. It has proven to be very difficult. I've been affected by cancel culture. I have oftentimes been told throughout my career, even before October 7th, that I'm either too Jewish or not Jewish enough, right? Those are two notes that I've heard for so long.
Who's making those comments? Who are those comments from?
And primarily from non-Jewish people. It came from casting directors, it came from producers, times that I was referred to, oh, that Jewish director or that Jewish actor. And I was like, I mean, technically that's true. I am a Jewish actor and a Jewish director. But there were times that people pointed out my identity in a slightly odd way. So I would hear things like that. But let's focus on the present right now, where we still have so many people in Hollywood who have not spoken up, who have said nothing about October 7th, but they've spoken up about other world crises happening around the world. They use their platforms to connect to social and political issues, but they have said nothing in support of the Jewish people. They've said nothing about the over 134 hostages who are still being held right now by Hamas. What is this silence? The silence is deafening.
You know, we just deal with a kind of a different problem here in South Africa, in that our government is silent about the suffering of absolutely everybody, from the Ukrainians to the Sudanese to any other conflict in the world. And the only conflict that our government is prepared to go out on the line for is the Israeli-Palestinian one. And you probably know we're quite famous for taking the Israel to The Hague for committing genocide. So we're dealing in a different kind of environment. How difficult is it in your environment to be pro-Israel and pro-Jewish?
Well, I guess the proof is in the results. I am proudly and openly Jewish and pursue Jewish activism because I feel that I must. I'm very passionate about it and have been. So I will do this no matter what. The results are, I've helped awaken a lot of Jews and our allies towards advocacy and activism. I advise more than 43 different governmental and non-governmental organizations internationally. I'm on the speaking circuit, and I see the results, not just what I do, but what people do inspired by what I do. And then hopefully they'll continue to inspire me and other people, and really seeing that ball rolling. Now, on the negative side, what are the results? I've lost 2/3 of my friends in the United States. 2/3 of the people who used to come to my events to support what I do, to be part of what I do, who are truly no longer my friends. And that's been a pretty difficult thing to experience, to know that because I am Jewish and support the Jewish people and Israel, that they no longer support me. I've also lost a lot of followers on social media, significantly.
Yuval, we don't have much time, so unfortunately this will be my last question. But you speak about anti-Semitism is not on the rise, it's just always been there. It's just become acceptable. Do you feel those who hate Jews have been completely and totally emboldened by this attack and are almost kind of out of control?
Yes, anti-Semitism, it's a sad thing. Anti-Semitism isn't rising, it's already risen. It's something I keep saying. October 7th and Israel's action and the Jewish people's actions towards defending themselves and fighting forward because we do not fight back has given people justification to hate the Jews, because all of a sudden the Jews are strong. All of a sudden Israel is fighting for its existence. And people are saying, this is why we hate Jews. That's what's happened. October 7th has given justification for the haters of Jewish people to speak up. They hated Jews before October 7th. Now they just can do so in the light of day.
We have to end on a positive note, and probably that positive note is that you're going to be
mad. Let's end on a positive note. We need to end on a positive note. The positive note is to be like, to delight in who you are. Nobody should take your narrative away. Own who you are. Love who you are. Express it and explore it as an adventure. Life is an adventure. Our identity is integral in everything we do. You are all of you all the time. Love it, live it, celebrate it, delight in it, and be empowered by it. How's that?
That is beautiful, and we are going to end just there. Thank you so much, Yuval David, a filmmaker, actor, television, theater, and web. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure to speak with you.